on the screen as well. I'm going to pick it up from chapter 5, verse 22. Thank you, Tim.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much. Now, boys and girls, so today we're thinking about goodness. Who can tell me what it means to be good? Any suggestions as to what it means to be good? What it looks like? Yeah, Elena? Okay, not to hurt anyone. That's a good start. Any other suggestions? Yeah, Vivi? Okay, help them if they're hurt. Yeah, anything else? Tobias? Be kind to them. Okay, so a couple of suggestions there. Now, do you know this week, because I've kind of wrestled with this, it's really hard to define the word good without using the word good. It's one of those words in that sense. But as we begin to think about what this word is and what it is to do good towards others, firstly, it's right that we point or we look to God, because the Bible often uses the word good to summarize who God is and what he's like. So right back at the beginning of the Bible, Moses, he said to God, God, I want to see your glory. And do you know what God said to him? He said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. So God kind of describes his character, all that he is, in that word. I've got a verse from Psalms. This is how the psalmist speaks to God. He says this. You are good, and what you do is good. He's talking of God. You are good, and what you do is good. God at his core is good. It is who he is. So if you went to, it feels a long way, long time ago now, but if you went to the beach, went to the seaside, and you bought a stick of rock like this, and often sticks of rock have down the center the name of the place you've been to, or some word, and it runs all the way through. And similar to that, running all the way through God is goodness, because God is good in everything and in every way. He is the source of goodness. So again, right back to the beginning of the Bible, after God creates the whole world, he says this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Included us, who he made in his image. So God, running through God is goodness. He is good to the core. It's who he is. It runs all the way through him. And everything he does, everything he says, is good. That's why even in the brokenness of our world, there are still glimpses and signs of God's goodness everywhere. And we start there because as we think about what the fruit of goodness might look like for followers of Jesus, we need to remember that all goodness comes from God. He is the source of goodness. And so to be truly good, just like we've sung about, we need God's help. And wonderfully, again, this is where this is the fruit that the Spirit loves to work in believers and followers of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit helps us to do what is good. And in particular, in the verses we read earlier, he helps us to do good to others. And this morning, I want to put it like this. We're going to say the Spirit helps us do good to others. Okay? It can include more goodness than this, but this is particularly from Galatians we're going to see. So we're going to say the Spirit, a sign for Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. Can we do that all together? 1, 2, 3. The Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. One more time. The Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. Fantastic. That is what we're going to see. Just have a look in your Bibles. Adults, have a look at verse 9 and 10 of chapter 6. Boys and girls, it's on the screen for you. Paul writes, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Do you see that? It's a real stress on relationships, isn't it? To do good to others, particularly God's people, but actually to everyone. So what are we learning? 1, 2, 3. The Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. Now, this morning, we're going to whiz through a couple of examples in our passage of what it looks like to do good. And it's an exhaustive list. We could spend all day, all week, having to think about what it is to do good to others. But what we're going to do is just focus in on a couple of examples that we see in the passage that Tim read for us. And the first way we're going to see the Spirit helps us do good to others is in restoring. Okay, in restoring. I think action for restoring is going to go like this, restoring. Put it back together. Now, is anyone good at doing puzzles? Because I've got a bit of a problem here. I've got a puzzle, but it's a bit distorted, and it's a bit broken. I need some people to help me. Now, who's good at making puzzles? Okay, there's a few of you. Right, well, I can't choose all of you, but under 4 seats are some missing puzzle pieces. So have a look under your seat. You need to proper look under your seat. See if you've got a puzzle piece. And then if you find it, you can come and restore this puzzle back to life. If you find one. Have we got any? No one's got a puzzle. Okay, there we go. Vivi's first one up. Anyone else got a puzzle piece? You can help each other if you find. Look under the blank ones as well. Who can find the missing puzzle pieces? I'm sure they're there. We found one. Oh, brilliant. We've got one in. Anyone else? What did we do with them? Oh, we've got another one. Do you want to pass it out to someone? We've got another one. Okay. We'll find the rest later. Keep going. Do you want to restore my puzzle piece? There we go. Look at that. It still needs a bit of work. But that's all right. Fantastic. Thank you. If you find them later, you can finish it off. You're going to look, spend the rest of the morning just trying to see if it's underneath. Now, earlier, back this way, earlier on, we read, didn't we, that God made all things and everything was good. But a consequence of our sin is that things are no longer all good. We were made to reflect all of God's goodness, yet like this puzzle was and still is, to some extent, our lives are still slightly messy. Now, only Jesus can restore us completely, but a follower of Jesus is someone learning to live his way. And one way the Spirit helps us to do good to others is by restoring them when they sin. It means when we see others doing things that don't please Jesus, when they do things wrong, we're to point them out. We're to say, just like those puzzle pieces, that they're out of place. Now, who's good, be honest, who's good at pointing out when people do something wrong? Yeah? Yeah, a few adult hands as well. We are all fantastic, aren't we? When we see other people doing something wrong, we're good at it. School, miss, he was doing that, he's got his finger up his nose, he's doing this, he shouted at me. You know, we're brilliant. We see the sin in others really easily. But we're far less likely to admit when we're sinful. But that's one of the reasons why the Spirit helps us to restore one another. And we're not to walk around shouting every time we see someone sin or do something wrong. Adults, look at verse 1 in your Bibles. It says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, You who live by the Spirit should restore that person harshly, loudly, publicly. No, it says gently. It says to do it gently. We need to do it carefully. Now, we didn't find all the puzzle pieces, but if we had, if you were trying to force it in a space it doesn't fit, or force it in, it doesn't fit very well. No, rather it takes care. It takes gentleness. And that's the same. When you try and point out the sin in somebody else, we're to do it gently. We're to do it in a way that we would want others to do it to us, because we're just as sinful as other people. We're to be gentle with one another as we restore them, as we point to things that aren't right. So what's the first thing we're seeing? Can we say this all together? One, two, three. The Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. And the first way he does that is by restoring, helping us to restore others. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to gently restore others when they do things wrong. And like the verse says, we also need to watch ourselves so that we don't fall into the sin that they're doing too. That's the first way to do good to others. The second way the Spirit helps us do good to others is in carrying. Anyone want to suggest a good action for carrying? Yeah, I thought that. Carrying. I'm going to do a bit of carrying. Everyone do a bit of carrying? One, two, three. Carrying. Now, have a look at verse 2, so you see I'm not making this up. Verse 2, on the screen as well. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I'm going to need some help this morning, because just before the service started, there was a knock at the door. And I opened it. And do you know what the man told me? He said, delivery for Gregory. I've got a parcel here for Jonathan. But the problem is, it's very heavy. Oh, does someone want to come and help me? Let me see if rather could do it. Oh, Jonathan's been spending all his Christmas money. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you five, come over here and help me. Come on. Where's Jonathan? Oh, Jonathan's at the back. Can you help? All right. You've got to be really careful, though. I think it's fragile. That's it. Right, here we go. That's it. Right, everyone get a bit. Right, careful downstairs. Downstairs. Oh. You're making this look easy. Right, here we go. Oh. It is a bit easier, though, with other people, isn't it? I think doing that on my own was going to be a bit of a problem. Are you all right if we bring it over to you, Jonathan? Yeah, sure. We would take it up to your office, but it might take a little time. Right, here we go. Oh, how's it feeling, everyone? Feel all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels all right, okay. This isn't going to be very practical giving it to you now, is it? I'll tell you what, let's give it to Jonathan. He can lay it down. Oh, thank you very much, girls. Let's give him a round of applause. Ooh. Feel free to open it later. Oh, now, that was much easier when we carried that together, wasn't it? Jonathan's very strong. New Year's resolutions, we go into the gym, it's working out. So the second way the Spirit helps us do good to others is in carrying. As we've seen, it's to carry, as the verse says, each other's burdens. Not just a parcel, although that was easier to carry with others, but it's to carry burdens. So it might be that you know a friend who is burdened because they're worried about something. And so you listen to them, or you get your Bible open and you share a verse with them to encourage them and say, don't worry, it's okay. Or perhaps you have a friend who's battling with a particular sin. Maybe they keep getting angry all the time, or they're struggling with selfishness. And you help carry the load by saying, look, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you about that. Or maybe you have a friend who's feeling very sad or not very well, and you help carry their burden by asking after them and by doing a job to help them out. The list is endless, but this second way that the Spirit helps us do good to others is in, can you do the action with me? Ready? One, two, three, carrying. Who's carrying the bag? I want everyone to carry the bag. Put a carry over one. Carrying, fantastic. So the second way. So we've seen two ways so far that the Spirit helps us do good to others, in restoring, a bit of restoring, and in carrying. The third way the Spirit helps us to do good to others is in sharing. Anyone want to suggest an action for sharing? Go on, show me your sharing actions. Yeah, I like that. Thank you, Damaris. Can everyone do this? We're going to do some sharing. Let's say this whole phrase with sharing. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Holy Spirit helps us do good to others by sharing. Have a look at verse 6. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Who's good at sharing? Anyone want to share anything with me this morning? Well, a few hands went down. No? Apart from my children. Can anyone tell me something that they've shared with someone recently? Go on then, Ella, what have you shared with someone? Okay, yeah, there's a pencil crisis in the schools, and you've helped share your pencils, okay? There's lots of ways that we can share. Okay, now in verse 6, adults particularly, I think what Paul's encouraging is that those who've received teaching are to share good things with those who have taught them. That's what it's saying here. And one way that we see that worked out in the life of church is that the people in the church generously share their money with those who work for the church so they can do so full time. And then in turn, those who work full time for the church share their spiritual gifts from God through teaching others. That's not the only way, but that's one example. And that should help us to think about the ways that we can share the things we have. So boys and girls, have a think. What could you share with church? Could you share some pocket money? We had Sam already come up this morning talking about the work that Ruth's doing. Could we give money towards that project? As you get older, could you give time serving in various ways, using the gifts that God's given you? For all of us now, could we, as it were, share our prayers for the work of this church and for the church family here? There's lots of ways. Then the third way the Spirit helps us do good to others is in sharing. The Spirit helps us to do good to others in restoring, carrying, and sharing. Restoring sinners, carrying each other's burdens, and sharing what we have. Now, really, we've had to speed through that. But I hope, even over lunchtime, adults, boys and girls, just think through this. We haven't even exhausted these categories, let alone other ways that we can do good to others. But hopefully that helps just prompt us to think through that. Now, as we've thought about these ways, who thinks these are really easy to do? Anyone? Who thinks it's really easy? Who thinks doing this is hard? So who thinks doing good to others is really easy? Who thinks doing good to others can sometimes be hard? Yeah, quite a few of this. Maybe, sometimes we find it easier, and some days we find it much harder. Now, you've got to remember, all the way back to the beginning where we started, to remember that the fruit of goodness comes from God. That's why we need the Spirit's help. And in the last two verses, which we're going to read one more time, we find two reasons why we especially need that help. Listen again to verse 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And the first reason we need the Spirit's help to do good to others is because doing good to others makes us weary. Makes us weary. Makes us tired. You think of all the ways we've seen of doing good to others. Isn't it exhausting sometimes? Don't we find that hard? Think of restoring. Don't we often find it hard to point out the sins in others? Maybe because we're worried about what they might say to us. We're worried about that conflict. Think of carrying. Maybe we feel so loaded by our own load, as it were, that we don't even notice burdens that other people are having. Think of sharing. Don't we often prefer to want to keep our stuff to ourselves rather than to share it with others? That's the wrestle that we have as followers of Jesus. But the good news is that when we're weary, the Spirit helps us do good to others. When we're tired, when we don't feel like it, the Spirit helps us to do good to others. The Spirit is like a battery. He gives us power to live Jesus's way. He helps us to overcome the temptation to just walk away and to leave people. He's, as it were, that inner voice who calls us to do what is good, even when we don't want to. When we're weary, the Spirit helps us do good to others. Can we say that together? We're going to go, I think, why don't you stand on your feet for a moment, boys and girls, and we'll do weary, okay? Some of you are looking weary. Are you ready? We're going to go, when we're weary, the Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. Fantastic. Take a seat. So that's the first way that the struggle we have. When we're tired, we just don't feel like we've got any more to give. The Spirit helps us to do good to others. But the second reason we need the Spirit's help is because we're often blind to see opportunities to do good. Who likes swimming? Quite a few of you. Can you all put some goggles on? I don't know if I could do it on my glasses. Yep, you put your goggles on. Fantastic. I love it. You can keep them on. When I go swimming, I still envy and still love, you know that game when someone throws in a weight and it goes all the way to the bottom of the pool? And you have to swim in and go get it. Who likes doing that? I still like doing it. I don't know if that's still allowed, but it's fun. I like to do that. Now, if you're going to do that, can anyone do that, by the way? Yeah, quite a few of you are good at swimming. To do that well, you really need goggles, don't you? Can anyone do it without goggles? A few mermaids and fish in the house? It's hard, isn't it? To see clearly under the water, to see clearly what you're going for, you really need goggles to see all the way to the bottom. Now, in a similar way, we need the Spirit's prompting to see opportunities when they come to do good to others, to lift our eyes away from ourselves and towards others that we can see, like jumping in the water and seeing the weight at the bottom. That's what it's like. The Spirit calls us to look away from ourselves, looking in the mirror, and as it were, out the window towards others. See, when we're weary, or could you blind, the Spirit helps us do good to others. Now, as we draw to a close, the biggest way the Spirit helps us do good to others, to help us when we're weary, to help us when we're blind, is to point us to our Lord Jesus. Because he's the only one who is truly good, and the only one who truly always did good to others. So think of this work of restoring. Jesus is the ultimate restorer. We can gently try and restore others with the Spirit's help, but only Jesus can restore us completely, can't he? Think of how Jesus was with his disciples when they were, you know, asking the same questions or not listening to what he said, and he was so patient and gentle at pointing them to their sin. But Jesus isn't just the ultimate restorer. Jesus is the ultimate burden carrier, isn't he? Think of the cross. He's the one who carried our sins to the cross that we might know forgiveness of our sins and that we might know help in our trouble. Jesus is the ultimate sharer. He's the one who not only took sin on himself, but he shares what is his. He shares with us, as we trust him, the right to be children of God. He shares with us all his goodness, his righteousness, so that as God looks at me, he sees the goodness of Jesus. He's also the one who shares with us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in these things, that we might increase in our love towards others and in the good deeds towards others that we've seen this morning. That's his great work. He loves to make much of Jesus. And when we're feeling weary, and when we're feeling tired, when we feel like we've got nothing left to give, the Spirit so often prompts us to look to Jesus, not just as some inspiration, but because of who he is and what he's done for us. So what have we learnt? We're going to say this all one more time, and then we're going to wrap up. So, boys and girls, get on your feet and do this bit. Come on your feet. On your feet. Here we go. One, two, three. When we're weary or blind, the Holy Spirit helps us do good to others. It's the work of restoring, the work of carrying, and the work of sharing. Brilliant. Take a seat. Let's keep asking the Spirit to produce goodness in us, that like our Savior, we might do good to others for the glory of his name. Let me pray for us before we sing again. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who produces fruit in all those who are trusting in Jesus. Please would we see the fruit of goodness lived out among us and through us. Holy Spirit, please do this work in us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing, I Want to Be.